you turn to Mark chapter 15. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 15. And we'll try not to be too lengthy tonight. And I might preach this again on a Sunday night. There'll probably be more folks here. Amen. So if you forget this message, I'm just kind of throwing out an encouragement for you tonight. And also, I'm going to give you a little bit of a nugget through the Word of God. It's good time sometimes for the Lord to give us something and bring a piece of gold out for us. Amen. We need to search the Bible and we need to find in the Scriptures what the Lord has for us. And sometimes God will give you a little handful on purpose. And I believe that this message is geared toward that tonight. So if you have your Bibles tonight, would you please stand? We'll read these verses quickly, pray, and then we'll get into the message tonight. But Mark chapter 15, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 15 tonight. Obviously, you go anywhere in the Gospels. We're talking about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ tonight here. But it says this, it says in verse 1, "And straightway in the morning the chief priests held consultation, thank you, with the elders and the scribes." What'd you say? That's what I said, I thought. Consultation. I can't say that. It's too big for a southern boy, amen? But anyway, thank you, Brother Jason. "With the elders and the scribes." Good thing I'm not focusing on that verse tonight. "With the elders and the scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, 'Art thou the king of the Jews?' And he answered and said unto him, 'Thou sayest it.' And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, 'Answer thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee.' But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude crying aloud began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, 'Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews?' For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, 'Will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the king of the Jews?' And they cried out again, 'Crucify him.' And then Pilate said unto them, 'Why, what evil hath he done?' And they cried out the more exceedingly, 'Crucify him.' So Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him, to be crucified." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the privilege, Lord, to just be gathered together, Lord, and hear the prayer requests, Lord, for the night, and Lord, just be gathered together as a people, Father. And Lord, thank you for the faithfulness of the folks tonight, Father. I pray that you'll bless the message, Lord, that you know exactly what we need tonight. And Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts in a mighty way. Put me aside, Lord, and God, use your word like only you can. Bless pastor who's away, Father. I pray that you'd just give them protection and give them a good time tonight, Father. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight, I use these verses tonight to kind of like a springboard into the message. And we've heard many messages, I know, about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I mean, you could go in the Scriptures there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can go pretty much all over the Bible and preach things about the crucifixion, the upcoming of the cross. And you could preach on the cross. You could preach on the blood. You could preach about our Lord and what He did and His servitude and His humility as He went to the cross. You could preach on this passage, and you could go and you could preach about Pilate and how he was. You could preach about Barabbas and him being the one that was let go. But I ask you tonight, how many of you have ever heard a message about the crucifixion, about the crucifying of our Lord Jesus Christ, about his nails? Has anybody ever heard a message on the nails that were in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? Anybody here? You can raise your hands. Don't be shy. Anybody? Okay. Well, that's what I'm going to preach on tonight. I'm going to preach on the nails in his cross. And if I could tonight, I'll ask you one thing. As an audience here, how many nails do you think was in his cross? How many nails do you think was there? Anybody have any guesstimations or guess? How many nails were in the Lord? This isn't a trick question. Well, maybe it is. But anyway, answer it if you have anybody. Three. Anybody else? Who says more than three? Anybody think there was two in there? I'm not trying to trick you tonight. There wasn't two. There was more than two. He says three. Most people think three. There's more than three. I believe there's five tonight. And I'm going to show you those five, and we're going to deal with those individually tonight as the nails in his cross. I think about as this is being the fifth nail, and you say five nails, what's that? But well, this is our nugget, amen. The fifth nail is our nugget. So I'm using it as application tonight as our fifth nail. If you look in the Noah's 1828 dictionary, you can find out what crucifixion means. You'll never find in the Bible that it says that they nailed the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross. You'll never find that. It's not there. I've looked, trust me. And if you want to look, you can. But I've never found that it says they nailed the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross. But it does say that they crucified him, which means nailing someone to the cross. That's what crucifixion means, that they nailed him to the cross. In fact, it says here, it says being hanged from a tree, that means to be put to death by nailing to a tree. That's what it means in the Bible. They nailed him to the tree. They nailed him to the tree, which is the cross. They took a piece of wood and made it into the cross. You ever heard that song? It talked about the tree. God grew the tree that he knew that one day his son would hang on. The seed that grew the tree, that one day they would take that tree and mold it and make it into a cross. That's the tree. That's what they did. They hung them to the tree. We do find out also about the crucifixion and what crucify means. If you look back in John chapter 20, verse 25, I'll read it to you. We see here, the other disciple therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. We know who that was. That was Thomas. And Thomas didn't see the risen Lord. He did not see him. He wasn't there with the disciples. He said, I'm not going to believe that the Lord is risen unless I see the prints in his hands. So obviously we see there that they nailed him to the cross. And I'm just trying to prove to you tonight, you might already know this, but I'm just trying to go into detail a little bit more, that's what crucifixion means. And they nailed him to the cross. I don't believe they taped him to the cross. I don't believe they put ropes around him. I don't believe that. He probably would fall down if they put ropes on him. I've seen a billboard down in Louisiana going on Interstate 10 past Baton Rouge coming out of there. And they have this man, I think it's a Jehovah's Witness church, I don't know what it is. But they have this man and he's kind of following you, and he looks like Jesus per se, he has long hair, whatever. But anyway, he has ropes on his hand and he's on that cross, and there's ropes bound around his hands. You know, if that's what would have happened, it wouldn't have been a crucifixion. He wouldn't have died if they'd have just put ropes on his hands, I don't believe. I mean, it would have took a whole lot longer. It would have been more like suffering more than ever. But they didn't put ropes on his hands. And you won't find a man that'll nail himself to the cross. I couldn't do that. I couldn't nail myself to the cross for the sins of the world. I couldn't do it. I'd chicken out, amen. But they nailed the Lord to the cross. They didn't put ropes on him. I don't believe it was a little nail. I do a lot of framing, and we use 10-penny nails, we use 12-penny nails, we use big nails sometimes. Sometimes we use little ones. If they would have put a little trim nail in him, he wouldn't have hung. He'd have fell right down. I believe they literally put stakes in him, kind of like railroad ties. They nailed those things in his hands that he would stay up there. And that's how he died, and put him in his feet. And that's how he died. Could you imagine that? Somebody nailing you to a tree with railroad stakes or ties, man, that'd be horrible. That'd be horrible. But he suffered that pain. He suffered that loss for us. I believe also another thing about the crucifixion, I don't believe that he fought at all. I believe he laid his life down, as the Bible says. I believe he probably, the soldiers didn't have to fight him. The soldiers didn't have to grab him and say, come on, Jesus, let me throw you and hold him down. Five people didn't have to hold his hand down. Five people didn't have to hold his feet down. I don't believe that happened. I really believe that he just laid it down on the cross. And laid this one down and put his feet and let them nail him to the body. Can you imagine that, just being nailed to the cross like that? The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 13, it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And let me tell you something, Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. I believe when he was looking at us, I was his enemy, amen? I was an enemy towards the cross. But yet he died for me as being his enemy. He died for me, and he saw me as more than just an enemy. He saw me as a friend. Because of sin, that separated me from the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet he saw me as a friend. I can't explain it, friend, but I tell you what, the Lord Jesus Christ, he did it willingly. He laid his life down as that sheep that went to the slaughter. He went to the slaughter for us and was nailed to that cross. I think about, let me go through this tonight, and I have 5 points, and we'll be done. But I think about that first nail. I think about those first nails, and there was two nails. There were the nails in his hands. the nails in his hands. We know that. One, two, they nailed his hands to the cross. And I know this is probably, you probably obviously know this, but I'm still going through it anyway. I mean, the first two nails are the nails in his hands. These weren't nails that were evil hands. These weren't nails that were wicked hands. I've got some things written down here. Matthew 19:15, it talks about his hands that were laid upon the little children to bless them. His hands that brought back the little 12-year-old damsel back to life, Mark chapter 5, verse 20. His hands that wrought mighty works, Mark chapter 6, verse 2. His hands that were used in the synagogue to teach the people, Mark chapter 6, verse 2. His hands that healed the sick folks, Mark chapter 6, verse 5. His hands that were that made the blind men to see. Man to see again, Mark chapter 8, verse 23. His hands that healed the woman from her infirmities, Luke chapter 13, verse 12. His hands that healed the leprosy of the people, Luke chapter 5, verse 13. And also his hands in which God gave everything to be done with, John chapter 13, verse 3. I'm telling you what, these were hands that were pure hands. These were hands that were perfect hands, never sinned, never did anything wrong. These were the hands that healed people. These were the hands that preached the gospel of the Lord. I'm telling you what, they were good hands. Amen? These are right hands. His hands never shed innocent blood, as it talks about in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17. These weren't hands that refused to labor. He was always doing something. These weren't hands that were slothful or lazy in any way. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10. They weren't slothful hands at all. These were the hands that helped his dad, Joseph, as he was working in the carpenter shop. I believe that the Lord could look at something and he could see that. You know, I'd have to pull a tape measure out on that and say that's about 43 inches right there and 5/16. You know, I'd have to pull out a tape measure to tell you that. I couldn't guesstimate what that was. I could guesstimate, but I couldn't really tell you an accurate measurement of it. But I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is a young teenage boy, and as a young boy, he could look at that and say that's 56 5/8 right there. Why don't you go ahead and cut that, Joseph? And he'd cut it. I believe, hey, these were the hands that were perfect hands. He didn't do any wrong. He did right, and yet they nailed those hands to the cross. Yet they nailed those hands to the cross for me and for you, that blood might be shed. I ask you tonight, what is your hands doing for the Lord? What is your hands doing tonight? It seems like sometimes we're quick to run to something and do something that we ought not, but we need to have consecrated hands. We need to have holy hands to the Lord, and we need to pray that these hands do right. We need to pray for these hands. I know it might be a silly thing and it might be a childish thing, but we need to pray that we do right through what we do, how we handle things, how you handle money through your hands. You could be deceptive through the money. Hey, what you look at with your hands can be deceiving. I'm telling you what, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is our example of perfection. He is our example that we need to look like. I know that we're not going to do right all the time, but still we have a goal to look at. We have something to reach, amen, and to look at His hands and how they were. Let me go on. The third nail, I believe, was the nail in His feet. The nail in His feet. They didn't lay Him out like this. They put Him lap over lap, I believe. And that's how they nailed Him, just like that, through that, just right through that ankle bone right there. Man, that would be bad to be nailed like that. That bone crunching and that blood squirting out. And I'm telling you what, tonight, he put his feet on the cross and willingly laid them down. I think about those precious feet. As I did the hands, I think about those feet that were precious. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 30 says, those feet that the blind and the dumb and the maimed and many others were cast down at, that fell down at His feet. The disciples that fell down and worshipped at His feet. Matthew chapter 28, verse 9. Those feet that walked and taught in the synagogue and preached the Word of God. Those feet that Mary anointed at His death. Those feet that walked on water. Those feet tonight that the sinner washed with her tears and her hair. I'm telling you what, they were precious feet tonight. They weren't dirty feet. They weren't ugly feet at all. They were beautiful feet. The feet that the maniac of the Gadareans sat down and worshipped and was in his right mind and fell down at those feet. They were perfect feet. They were precious feet. Those feet never ran to mischief. They never ran to do wrong tonight. The Bible talks about running to mischief in Proverbs 1, verse 16. They never ran to mischief. Those feet were never the ones that were going towards the path of evil. They weren't those feet in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26. Hey, they weren't those feet that were tripped up by the world. Proverbs 29, verse 5. Hey, they were feet that were obedient to the Lord. And they did the right things. The Bible talks about beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of the Lord. And I'm probably taking that out of context there or mismatching that. I'm sorry about that. But you know what I'm talking about. Those feet that preach the Word of God, they're beautiful feet. And the Lord Jesus Christ, His feet were beautiful. Now, I'll be honest with you. If I took my shoes off tonight, my feet would not be very beautiful. Amen. Even though I'm preaching the Word of God, physically, they're not beautiful. Amen. And I'm not going to tell you what's wrong with my feet as long as, you know, I don't want to tell you that because I'll embarrass myself. But ask Rachel sometime how my feet are. Are they ugly and they stink sometimes? But I'm telling you what, I believe the Lord, His feet didn't stink probably. I mean, they were precious feet. They were beautiful feet and they probably look good. Amen. But yet they nailed those feet to the cross for me and for you. That third nail is the nail that was nailed into His feet. And I ask you, how's your feet tonight? Are they feet that are running to mischief? Are they feet? Are they the feet that are going the wrong way? You need to turn around and go the right way. We need to pray for these things. Sometimes we need to just pray, and I know it's a simple thing, and I know it might sound silly, but sometimes I pray and I say, Lord, be with my body. Protect my body. And I'll go through it. I'll say, be with my hands that I might not sin against you with my hands. Be with my feet that I might not go the wrong places, that I might go the right places with those feet. The Lord wants to see our feet going towards that door, knocking on it on Saturday. Not going down to the bar or whatever may be the case or going somewhere that might not be the right place. He wants to see our feet going in the right direction and keeping our feet on the right path. Sometimes I pray for my eyes that I will look at the right things, that I won't look at a billboard that has nudity on it, that I won't look at a magazine that ain't the right kind of thing, or I won't look at a TV set that has the wrong things on it. My eyes, my ears, that I won't hear the wrong things. Sometimes I pray for my nose that I might not smell the wrong things. Amen. Sometimes I smell cigarette smoke and it's nasty. Well, you can get away from that. You can just walk away. Amen. But I'm talking about praying for your body that you'll do the right things with them. The Lord had He had the right kind of feet. Amen. He had precious feet. So we see the third nail, and I know you're dying tonight to hear the fourth and the fifth nail, so we're going to go there, amen? We talked about the hands and the feet that were nailed to the cross, but I believe the fourth nail, and we'll go to that real quick, Luke chapter 23, verse 38. Would you turn there with me tonight? Luke chapter 23, verse 38. We'll look at that fourth nail tonight. And also, this is the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ here, them crucifying Him to the cross. But Luke 23, verse 38, it says this. It says, and the superscription also was written over Him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And I look at that fourth nail, and I believe it was the nail that held the signet above His head. They nailed this plaque above His head, and it talked about that it was in Greek and it was in Latin. This is the King of the Jews. It didn't say this might be the King of the Jews. It says, this is the King of the Jews. Pilate knew that it was the King of the Jews. He knew that He was the Savior of the world, but yet he had Him go on because of the people and because of the publicity and because he didn't want to look bad. But he said, no, I don't know where it is, but he said, this is what you need to nail on there. This is what you need to write on there. This is the King of the Jews. And it's something that they said it was in Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. And I wondered that, and I thought about that, and I believe the reason why is because those were the main languages of the day. For the whole world to know that this is the King of the Jews, they put it in all those languages so that people would know that this is the King of the Jews. And so the whole world would know that this is Jesus Christ and that He is dying for the sins of the world. The superscription that was above His name was that fourth nail. This was not just any ordinary name. This wasn't just Paul Eads. This wasn't just Jason Garland. This just wasn't just Joe Schmuck out there on the road, amen. This was Jesus Christ. This was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He had a name above all names. The name that you can call upon in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, the name that is above every name, like I said before in Philippians 2, 9, it is a name that is a strong tower, Proverbs 18, 20. It is a name that every knee shall bow at one day, Philippians 2, verse 10. It is a name that you can believe on, 1 John 5, 13. It is the name that will help you in the time of need, Psalms 124, verse 8. It is a name that is a holy name, Psalms 105, verse 3. And I could go on and on tonight, but it was a holy name. It was the right kind of name. It was a name that one day people will bow at. Right now, they might fold their arms. They might turn their head and say, you disgust me, Jesus Christ. But one day, they will bow at His knee because He is the name above every name. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the day everybody knew who this was dying for them, that fourth nail held a very important plaque up to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ and tell them who He was. I look at people and I believe that as Christians, we need to have a good name. The Lord Jesus Christ had a good name. Proverbs 22 verse 1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. He had a good name. And it was above, far above the riches of this world. And I tell you what tonight, Christian friends, hey, we need to have a name that's above this world. We need to have a good name. Not just we don't need to have a bad name tonight. We need to have a good name. I'm working around people at work right now that so-called are Christians. They go to church, and I know the church they go to. I've preached in the church that they go to, but yet they'll stand out there and they'll smoke a cigarette and they'll cuss in front of everybody and they'll dip and they'll talk dirty and things like that. Hey, right now it's ringing a bell in my ear. Hey, can I look at them and say, are they really Christians? They go to church and they name the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's hard for me to see that they're Christians when they're doing those things openly. I'm telling you what tonight, as a Christian and as Christian people, hey, our name needs to be held up. And we need to look at our name and we need to say, how are people looking at me today? How are people looking at me tomorrow on the job site? Or how's my family looking at my name? We need to have that name held up for everybody to see, but it needs to be a good name. We're running the Lord Jesus Christ in the mud. We're running His name in the mud as Christians when we do those things. When we sin openly, even when we sin personally, we need to rebuke ourselves. Amen. We need to let the Lord rebuke us about these things. But I'm telling you what, our name is important. We need to have a good name tonight. I need to have a good name in front of you and in front of the lost and in front of this world that we live in. We need to have a good name tonight. His name said something. What does your name represent tonight? What does your name mean to you? As a Christian, it should mean a lot. What are you doing about it? What are you doing about your name tonight? It needs to be a good name. The Bible says in Philippians 2 verse 8 and through 10, and I'm going to read it to you. I already said a few of these verses, but being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and hath given him a name which is above every name. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm telling you what name tonight God gave the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave him a name that will be highly exalted. And it is highly exalted above every name. It's an important name. And one day people will bow at. Why? Because of the death of the cross. Why? Because he was crucified for us. Why? Because he was the Son of God. And he rose from the dead. I'm telling you tonight, we need to have a good name. And let me hurry here. Let me look at the fifth now. I know y'all are, man, y'all look like you're chomping at the bit. You're drooling right now, ready for this name. Amen. This fifth nail. We looked at the hands. We looked at the feet. We looked at the signet above him. And let me say that this is an application, and this is a good nugget, amen, and I think you'll enjoy it tonight. But let's look over here in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, real quick. Colossians chapter 2, what is that fifth nail tonight? And I was looking at this, and I was like, man, this is good stuff, amen. But Colossians chapter 2, you find it. I've got it written down here. But Colossians chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 13 through 15. It says this. It says, and you being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So we look at verse 13 and we see that that's us, dead in our trespasses and in our sins. And he quickened us and has forgiven us. Why? From what? Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us. You know what that is? That's the law. And I believe the fifth nail is tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ took that nail that was the law and was under his feet, and that blood that he shed for us ran over that nail and covered that law, that we might not have to look at the law, that we might not have to be part of that law anymore. So the fifth nail tonight is that law, I believe, that he took and he shed his blood for. And I believe that blood covered the law. It says you don't have to. He looked probably back at Israel and the Jews and says you don't have to sacrifice the blood of lambs anymore, the blood of goats or doves and things like that. You don't have to do that anymore because I died for you. I was the sacrifice for you. I took the law out of the way. And if you look back in there, you'll see that they sacrificed time and time again. Why? Because of the sins they committed. They'd go there weekly, yearly, and things like that. The priest would have to come and do the same thing over and over again. But you know what? A good thing has come, and we don't have to do that anymore. We're not under the law anymore. We don't have to do the law anymore. But yet he's showing, amen, with the law, that nail, that he covered it with his blood. I believe those people back tried to keep the Ten Commandments, and they couldn't do it. They had to have that sacrifice. I challenge you tonight. I ask you, how many of us have kept the Ten Commandments? I'll be the first one to raise your hand. I've not kept the Ten Commandments. I've stole before. I've thought things that I shouldn't. I've made other things my God before God Himself. I haven't remembered the Sabbath day sometimes, and I haven't kept it holy. There's sometimes I've used the Lord's names in vain. Well, what are you saying? When you say golly, when you say holy cow, when you say things like that, geez, man, you know what you're doing? It might not say, you're not saying, oh my, and I'm not going to say it tonight. You're not saying that, but you're saying a form of it. You're using the Lord's name in vain. And you know what? You can't keep the law. You can't keep the Ten Commandments. You ever met anybody who says they can keep the Ten Commandments? They're lying to you. Just blow them off, whatever. You can't keep it. You've stole before. You've done something. You've coveted your neighbor's things. I don't care what it is, but you've done something, and you cannot keep the law. Now, the law is a good thing, and I don't shun the law tonight because we need the law, amen. I need the law. You know why? Well, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 through 25, it says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. And that's through Jesus Christ. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. The law is a good thing. We need the law. We need the law. Well, I needed to know when I was a six-year-old boy that I've stole before, that I've lied. You know what? I broke the law. That schoolmaster brought me to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, yeah, you've done this. Pointing their finger. That Mr. Law pointed his finger at me and says, you've done this, you've done that, you're a sinner. And condemned me right there. So we need the law, and it's a schoolmaster bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you witness to somebody and you talk to them about the Lord, hey, bring up their sins. That's important. They need to know what they need to know who they are. They need to realize they need to see their sin ever before them. It's a schoolmaster. How else are we going to know that but through the law? We broke the law. I speeded today. Actually, I was speeding yesterday. And God, out of His mercy and His grace, I didn't get pulled over. But I did have a state trooper flash his lights at me. So I waved at him, and he did like that to me. And I was like, thank you, Lord, man. I'm sorry. I wasn't even thinking. And see, there's another reason. That's why we have the law. To bring us, to keep a hand upon us. Hey, you can't go past this line. But it's a schoolmaster. We need the law. But let me say this also, we need the Savior. We need the Savior. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 12 through 13 says, the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And I'm just trying to bring in some subjection here, trying to bring in to reality what that law was. He was a curse for us. He hung on the tree so that law might not be there anymore. He was that curse